it with your mouth. Bothering kings is what we're talking about. From Mars to the V-Block, everybody shout. L-A-L-A, big city of dreams. But everything in L.A. ain't always what it seems. You might get fooled by those other guys in town, but we're down by law. We know our way around too much.
Ellie is the house. This is episode 330. I'm here with David and Lewis.
Hey.
What's up, everybody?
And this is Bobby, and we're coming back for another week of Galaxy. This time, a major, major, major loss in Austin. Down 2-0, where I don't think I even saw the team.
They're still in bed.
Not just that, you know, just a lot of bad decisions in that game. Lots of hotheads. That made bad decisions as well and cost us for that and the next. Yeah. How are you guys feeling?
Surprisingly, just kind of not worried, honestly. It was a bad performance, and I even mentioned it last week in Balls and Beers that Austin is on a hot streak, and they capitalized, and the Galaxy, I think, like you said, some bad decisions leading into the game, and some unfortunate stuff that happened, and then, it just led to just a fall flat performance. Like you said, they were still in bed for this. It was too early in the morning for them. I think, Bobby, you mentioned that a while back that those early too games. Early. Too early. Exactly. That's how I felt about this game. Too early.
You know what? I actually completely forgot about that because, I mean, I know I had to wait till I had come back from work in the evening. But because my memory of it is watching it in the evening, I don't know. I kind of felt like it was an evening game again. But yeah, that's true.
It was an early. It was 10:15, 10:45 their time.
Yeah.
You know, their bodies were like, I'm still just finishing my coffee. I don't know. What'd you think about Lewis?
I mean, I kind of called it on Balls and Beers, right? I said I have a really bad feeling about this game. Didn't know why. I just felt that they were going to lay an egg. And they did.
It was time. It would have been the third game in a row. That has not won three games in a row.
Yeah.
It was time.
Yeah, I guess so. I also felt – and the funny thing is that I kind of felt that was part of it. I also felt like this was a 10th game. I think that was a milestone for – at least for me personally, I know I had talked about, let's look at the first 10 games of the schedule going into the season and see where you stand on those 10 games because Vanny may not have a job or, he started on the hot seat. And so this was kind of like the end of that first, chapter. Nearly a third of the season is now over. And I just kind of felt like that 10 was important, and I just kind of felt like they're going to shit the bed here.
You tend to be down on like those milestone games. For whatever reason, you tend to just be like, oh, this is disappointment here. And talking about, hot seats, Austin winning what 4 out of the last 5 games.
Yeah.
After a start where we all went, oh, Josh Wolf might be the first one to go.
Yeah.
And I think his hot seat has cooled down pretty significantly. I think that they're what in like 6th place in the West?
7th.
Right now, 7th place in the West. Were in the first, they looked it, and it's not so much that they were losing games. It was the way they were losing games. Like they looked like they had nothing. They looked like they were not playing for each other, for the fans, for the coach, nothing.
Right.
And then they got smacked. Was it like 2-3-0 at home? And then they came back and they ended up drawing that game or maybe winning that game. I don't even remember who it was against, but I remember watching it, and I just thought this must be the one where Josh Wolf basically said, "Look, I'm done. If we're not going to show any fight, and And, you know, credit to them and credit to Josh Wolf for getting them going. And now they've won four out of the last five. And I think that a lot of the, like, MLS pundits, this is where it made me feel better. A lot of the MLS pundits looked at this game and went, oh, Austin has rectified whatever what was going on with them. And they used the Galaxy as sort of like that standard bearer point for the season so far. Like, that tells me that people think the Galaxy is a good team this year. They're not a pretender. The fact that Austin was able to beat them in this game was a big deal for Austin. So I think that leans toward our feeling about the Galaxy in general, that they are actually a good team and they're a dangerous team, you know, in the season. And I think the last 10 games has shown us, like, look, even though they had a bad performance here, I don't think that it's any cause for alarms or whatever. I think they're going to fix it, and I think they're going to bounce back and respond. The last time they had a loss like this against LAFC, they responded well.
Yeah, I think for me, so as I was watching the game, I was disappointed. I wasn't frustrated. So a little context here. None of us saw the game live. We all had something to do in the morning, because, you know, who the hell plays soccer on a Saturday morning unless it's your kids, right?
My kid was literally playing soccer.
Yeah, that's why. Exactly. So I'm working. I didn't see it. Actually, I was watching some of it on my lunch, some of my break from the beginning. So I wasn't like picking up where it was currently at. So I did watch it in its entirety, maybe not in succession, but I watched it. I wasn't frustrated. Mainly because maybe this is kind of what I expected, right? So disappointed that they did. But that first half was – I don't want to say it was as bad as Kansas City. That was a very bad half. I do feel that in the Kansas City game, we were completely chasing the game. In Austin, I don't necessarily believe that we were chasing the game, but we didn't look good. Like, we just didn't look good.
The first 4 minutes, no?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I'm pretty sure we were chasing the game since then.
Well, I mean, as far as the result, sure,
control the game,
but like, we weren't
chasing the ball.
Yeah, we weren't chasing the ball. That's what
Austin
I'm saying.
Austin wasn't running circles around us. You know what I mean? Like, right. It was just that play, that quick, like, bang, bang, bang. Who was it? Yoshida and Casares kind of lost their markers, and, you know, it turned into a goal real quick. I mean, you know, the plus is that we didn't give up any set piece goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Improve.
Give up some running. Yeah, I guess. But I think I think that the second half lineup probably should have been the lineup that started. It was bizarre to me that Diego Fagundes did not start.
What a horrible mistake that was.
I think that's what Bobby was kind of alluding to earlier. Is poor decisions. I think the decision to start Miguel Berry was a pretty horrible one. I'll jump ahead, Lewis. He was the worst rated player. he was my worst rated player by a lot. And you know, I had given him up until this point, I had given him the benefit of the doubt. I thought, well, you know, he's trying to figure it out. He's not really the type of player. He's got good hold up play. He was terrible in this game. That is where everything went to die, if it even got to him. But I also think that a lot of it was our midfield just kind of like waiting for somebody else to make the big play. And they never really, you know, got there. I felt like the second half, they did a lot better. They were a little bit more dynamic. But by that point, Austin had just kind of shut them down and instituted the low block. And we all know that, you know, they don't do well against that. You know, I think I'm hoping that they learn from this. I hope that Dejan Jovetic's injury is something that is just like a precautionary thing and not like a long-term injury. And if it is a long-term injury, or if it looks like it could be, you know,
it's weeks, not.
I really hope that we go out and get another striker.
Yeah, I don't think it's a long-term injury. I don't think there's any indication that say that there was. It is a long-term injury. I think it's just apparently he had been playing with it. He hasn't been 100%.
It was like a hip thing, right?
I thought it was a thigh thing.
Oh, maybe a thigh. Okay. Somewhere in the leg, in the lower body region.
You know, the most important part of the, you know, part we use soccer for. Yeah. So as I said, none of us watched it live. I obviously, to not spoil the results, I stayed away from social media and everything else. I had no idea what was being said, any sort of indication of how the game was going. The one thing that did stick out for me, and again, like I said, I wasn't going through social media. I said the same thing. I'm like, Miguel Berry, I was dead wrong. I mean, dead wrong about him. Earlier in the year, I had said that, you know, the heavy lifting is going to be done by the midfield. Much like Jovalić, Berry just has to be at the right place at the right time, make the right runs, and just tap it in. I don't think we're going to lose anything if Jovalić is out and Berry is in, because the heavy lifting will be done by the midfield. And boy, was I dead wrong. Miguel Berry brings very little to nothing to the team. And, you know, was I just being hard on him? Was I, you know, is it just because of this game that, you know, because he started? And this isn't the first game he starts, right? I mean, he started another game as we started against LAFC. So it's like, it was just kind of odd. I'm like, why am I picking on Miguel Berry? And then, of course, after the game is over, I took to social media and everyone is on Barry's case. I'm like, okay, then it's not me. It's not just me. It wasn't that I was seeing something and that wasn't there, or I was being biased, or I was being whatever. Like, no, it's not just me. It was Miguel Berry who had a bad game. It is Miguel Berry who basically has, you know, even if he has played in other games, what has he done? Right?
I called it like 2 weeks ago. If you're gonna wear your first name on the back of your shirt, you gotta do something. Come on, right. You gotta get a goal. You gotta get a bag, a couple of goals before we start calling you Miguel.
Right, right. And I also feel like, you know, in watching that, I can understand why you wouldn't keep Billy Sharp per se. I think that in the case, because a lot of people were saying,
"Oh, but it's why, that was a money thing. It wasn't
right." I don't exactly.
You know, it's a money thing. It's not a personnel thing. It's a money thing.
Right. And I think a lot of people, I don't think people understood that. Billy Sharp was going to want more money probably than what he was making. Billy Sharp was making like 200K, over 200K, and he played for less than half the season. Well, what do you think he's going to want for the entire season? There's no way that you're going to be paying him TAM worth of money like for him to be.
Probably.
No, I don't think it'd be that high. But it's definitely like in the 6 to 7 range. And it's like, dude, like you're not going to be paying him that much money. Like to be on the bench, like because he's going to be, you know, behind Jovalić. I mean, it's just like, is it a good option? Absolutely. I don't think this was like. Well, I mean, yes.
Yeah. Now that we know what we would have instead, right. You know, but I think that maybe something is a little bit different, but I also don't think that it would have made a huge difference. I do think that we need a better backup, though. I don't think that Miguel Berry. You know, should be long for being the backup, or God forbid that, you know, Jovalić is hurt long term. He cannot be our starter.
Yeah. I mean,
I almost, you know, going into, you know, not to jump ahead, but like going into next week's game where Ricky Puig is injured, I don't think that you put Berry in and add a midfielder. I think that you throw Paintsill up top. With maybe Fagundes and play that way, maybe add an extra midfielder there and let Yamane run the right side and stick Paintsill up in the forward.
I think this is something that Vanny did not have before, and that is the versatility. The players that can switch positions, play on either side, play up top. I think Miguel Berry was, I believe he was subbed off at halftime. So he definitely knew right away that, you know, okay, this guy is,
He's I did a bad job.
Right, right. I made a poor decision in doing that. I'm going to try to rectify this decision. Right. So I don't know what's going to happen in the next game. I would imagine that he wouldn't want to start Barry. At the very least, you want to use him off the bench. But yeah, you can throw Paintsill on top. I think you can even throw Fagundes on top if you really want to. I don't think that's going to happen in this game because you're going to need a number 10 type player. I think the it's going to be interesting to see how they do against Seattle in their next game, considering the fact that Ricky Pooj is going to be suspended. And so, I personally think it's going to be Fagundes in that role, and maybe you do have to throw Paintsill up top. We'll see how that plays out. But yeah, I mean, it was just overall, it was a bad performance for the Galaxy. It was a bad performance on Vanny. It was, or at least tactical performance in that first half. The starting, again, why, even if you're saying, Fagundes should be starting over Barry, like, dude, Fagundes should be starting because they're playing against Austin. You know that guy is going to be motivated to play against Austin. Apparently, the way that he did not want to leave Austin, the way he left Austin left a bad taste in his mouth. He was kind of blindsided by it. You could tell, you know, he wasn't happy with the FO. I don't think it's anything to do with the fans or the team. He would have loved to, like, you know, have at it. Why you don't start him here is beyond me. This is, I mean, a really, really bad decision on Vanny here. And, you know, it really did bite him. In the second half, obviously, I thought they played better. I mean, that goal eluded them. The whole time I watching that second half, or even after we got scored on, you know, the second time, the same thing I've been saying when we went down. Cool, fine. We've been in the spot before. We've come back. We haven't lost. We've been down 2-0 more than once. Not a good thing. Should be down 2-0, but we're able to come back. So at the very least, we can salvage something here. And again, you just need one. Just get one to get your groove, dude. Get your groove and you'll be good. But I think by the 75th is probably when I said that they're not scoring. Mm-hmm. They're not. I think that was the first time I had said that, that they're not scoring. I kind of knew that. And I don't remember when it was when Vanny substituted Cuevas and I don't know who else. I was like, ooh, like, I get it. You don't have more options off the bench. You already took Fagundes out. You put Fagundes in. You put Cerillo in. Those are your guys right there. After that, you're looking at...
He was
at,
also just throwing in the towel, too. I mean, for sure, that's all
and I kind of... And again, I kind of feel like, is he throwing in the towel? But who else are you going to put? Like, no, all your other, too, but, you know... But yeah, point, I kind of feel like... But at that point,
you're saving legs. You're just like, all right, let's get some guys out of here. Let's not go full 90. This is done.
Right. So yeah, by that time I was like, okay, well, this is it's going to stay this way. I don't think they're scoring. This is it. You know, it is what it is. Like I said, I was disappointed, but I wasn't surprised. I wasn't really angry. Like I said, I had called it for whatever reason that was. I called it. And the other thing is that, you know, you take the social media, like I said, after the game, everyone's ripping on Miguel Barry, and then everyone's kind of just, I get it, Galaxy Twitter, but kind of just shitting on the team. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, this is the second loss of the season. Maybe it's an emotional thing, but it's like, I even said, just be prepared that the Galaxy are gonna lose again. They're not going the whole season with one loss. They're going to lose again. And newsflash, they will lose a third game. They will lose a third game in the season. Don't know when that's going to happen. They will lose a third game in the season. And, you know, that's what I was thinking. Like, when this happens, how are Galaxy fans going to react? Will they start to say, like, oh, my, you know, like, basically what they did this past weekend. And it is kind of ridiculous. It is obviously a disappointing loss. You hope that this isn't a trend. You know, the honeymoon has been over. And what I meant by that was, okay, we're not on cloud nine anymore. We can criticize the team. We can definitely go out and say, dude, don't let, you know, set piece goals in. Defend corners. Finish your chances. That's where, like, okay, hold on a second. I can't forget this anymore. This is like you're doing good, but you're able to criticize your team. In this particular game, it's just like, what else can I say? You played a bad game. I can't defend you. There's no way that I could say, okay, but you move on. Forget about it. You lost, whatever, move on. Definitely the worst performance of the season, by far. Even the LAFC game, a game in which you play badly, I don't think that even you deserve to lose. This one, you 100% deserve to lose. Fine, whatever, move on. Once again, how do you respond? I think the only problem is that you're missing one of your better players, your playmaker, the guy that starts it all. So, no excuse. This happens. In which case, what are you going to do? Like, how do you respond? How do you adjust? Right? No one's going to take the excuse, oh, well, we're Nurki Puig, so we're kind of destined to lose. Nope, that's not going to fly this year. So, guys are going to have to pick it up. And they're going to have to adjust. It's just the way it is. And if, they're not performing well in this one, the criticism is going to get even heavier. You went from possibly winning three in a row to, are you going to get your first losing streak? Right. I think, as I said, we have the first chapter ends, the first 10 games are over and the new one begins. You're going to have six games in May. So, it doesn't get any easier. They're just going to have to move on. I will say this. Although you ended, that milestone with the loss, if at the beginning of the season, we would have said, hey, you'd be tied for first place after 10 games, 100% of the fan base would have taken it. 100% of the fan base takes it. Like, oh, tied for first after 10 games? No, A, probably no one would believe you. And two, yeah, you would take it 100% of the time. As Dave said, I'm obviously never okay with the loss, but yeah, I'm not really worried yet. Like I said, the Galaxy were destined to lose again at some point. And guess as I said, they're going to lose a third game. It's just, it's going to happen. I hope it's, again, it's far in between, but they're going to lose again. I want to see how they respond. You go up against Seattle. It's a very, very tough game. We haven't been in Seattle in quite a while. So Seattle is in 12th place, but they just came off a very surprising victory in Philadelphia today. There's that. Stephen Fry was supposed to be out of the game. Red card. They appealed it. They won the appeal. He got reinstated. He will be playing on Saturday. Alex Roldan is still. He actually ended up getting an extra game for his red card. So he will be out for the game on Saturday. I think this is a game that kind of evens out in that, Seattle has a midweek game, a lot of travel, losing a good player or one of their better players in Roldan.
The high of being a team like Philadelphia, I think.
Right.
Then having to travel back home and now defend against
the Galaxy, right?
Like the Galaxy, is big. So yeah. I'll have my thoughts, my further thoughts on missing Ricky and all that, against Seattle. But I guess let's finish talking about this. This awesome game.
So let's talk some players. Okay. Who was the highest rated player? I think this is pretty simple. Who was the highest rated player?
I think it's Ricky. You gotta give it to Ricky on this. It's not super high, but I think Ricky Puig is highest rated.
I guess. Yeah, Ricky.
I thought this was a no-brainer. I think he's the only one that actually was kind of moving forward, trying to get things going.
Get some shots.
Yeah, I mean, it's just most of
them there was that one the goalie saved, incredible save. And I gotta say for Austin, what's the guy's name? Gallagher. He completely shut us down. Anytime Peck or Paintsill went down that side, they ran into a wall. By the name of Gallagher, he was incredible in defense for Austin. And I think that having, you know, that 4 out of 5 games that Austin has enjoyed, I think has been because they got their DP, Sebastian Parisi, back from, I don't know if it was an injury or what, but ever since he's come back, they have done much, much better. And I also think that Rubio also was just a complete menace for us in the midfield. You know, I think a lot of, like, I would attribute the Galaxy struggle to those three players in the game. Oh, and the goalie. The goalie made some incredible saves, that one off of Ricky.
Yeah, I think if that ball goes in, you might see a different second half.
Yeah, I think so.
And maybe the Galaxy pull it off, because Austin wouldn't be able to. I mean, I guess they could have. They could still defend a one goal lead, but it's easier to defend a two goal lead than a one goal lead, obviously. But yeah, it's unfortunate. It was a good shot, good save, but whatever. Ricky Pooch got a yellow for. Was it arguing?
I don't remember if it was. I feel dissent like
that's
or...
all he gets. That's
Right. He gets yellows. So this is where I'm gonna criticize Ricky for. I think it was in the LAFC game. The first criticism was like, dude, you can't lose the ball on your end. You're doing too much. Yeah. You're playing trying to hit a ball. The other criticism now is, shut the fuck up. You know, like, dude, like. What are you saying to the refs that you're getting yellow cards for? I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, to go up there that you disagree with the call, but to get yellows all the time, it's like, what are you doing? Either because, well, you're not the captain, so you really can't talk to the ref, in which case, dude, you didn't know your place. Or two,
he's a co-captain.
Like, right, but maybe for the team, but on, like, if the ref is saying who has the captain's armband, it's Yoshida. Don't talk to me then. I talk to Yoshida. Right? So, or are you insulting the refs? What the hell are you doing? You need to learn to bite your tongue, dude. Like, you seriously need to shut up. Like, I'm not saying
he does get hacked a lot.
I mean,
he does get fouled, and he does have a legitimate complaint. And
if it happens to him, sure. But I know that a couple of those yellow cards have come from someone else. It could just be a culmination
of it. Yeah, but it's
I guess it could be. But he also has to. I mean, he's young. I know we look at Ricky as a veteran. The kid's 23, so he's still young. But the guy has to understand, like, dude, you cannot keep getting yellows for this. You have now put your team at risk. You are needed. You also understand, and I'm sure he does, that the team runs through him. The offense runs through him. And if he's out, the team is going to suffer. He needs to know that as much as, dude, I have to know my limits to where, like, I'm putting the team in at risk, right? I can't lose the ball at my own end. Well, I cannot be off the field. My team will suffer. Like, this is something that he kind of has to know. And guess what? Now he's put the team at, well, I won't say at risk, but, like, dude, you're going to be playing shorthanded. So he needs to know this. You can't get like 5 cards in 10 games and it's like dude, like I'm sorry, but like to me that's something that upsets me as well. You kind of need to know your place. You kind of need to know like what your limitations are here with this as well. What can I say to the ref? What can I say to the ref? I understand the frustration. You get hacked a lot, but sometimes it's like, dude, you're going out and defending somebody up there. I get it, but there's certain things where it's like, dude, like, you have to know that you're on yellow card watch. You have to know that my next one, I get suspended. Like, it's probably best that I keep my mouth shut, right? It's. I don't know. For me, that's pretty much the criticism that I have in this game. Otherwise than that, like I said, he is by far, the best player in this game. Okay, second highest rated player. This one's obviously a lot tougher.
Tougher for sure.
It's hard for me. I really was disappointed by everybody's performance. So it's really hard for me to say. I mean, I guess Brugman. I don't know.
I'm going to
go with Paintsill.
Okay, I actually would not have known where to go. I probably would have said Brugman as well. To be honest, I didn't know where to go here. There are three players that are tied with the exact same rating here for second place. 6.9. Paintsill, Delgado, and Aude. All at 6. Oh, by the way, Ricky had 7.8. So, again, a mile above everybody else. Who is the second lowest rated player?
Second McCarthy. Lowest.
Yeah, second lowest, because we know who the first one is.
Yeah, Miguel Berry is definitely number one.
Even if officially he's lowest.
McCarthy, even though Cáceres got a yellow card.
Yeah, for me it's Cáceres, because man, I really was upset with him in this game. I thought he blew his top too soon. He made too many mistakes. He wasn't on his man. It just wasn't good. So I'm gonna go with Martin.
Good shout on both of you guys, especially David. McCarthy is officially the second. By the way, Miguel Berry, 45 minutes played, 5.6. McCarthy, 5.7. Cáceres, also just 45 minutes played, 5.8. And that's with the yellow. Now, Cáceres, well, obviously this has been an issue for him as well, being the hothead, also needs to control. He's a veteran. Not the captain, but he's a veteran. He should know better. I think it's probably just, I don't know, him, I suppose. I don't know. He... can't teach an old dog new tricks type of thing, where Pooch can still learn. I don't think Gasset as well. He's on his way to retirement, so it's like a little too late. Those are your three right there. Rounding out the rest of the guys, Peck had 6.1, so not that much better. Yamani at 6.5, and Audi at he was 6.9. Yoshida, 6.1. That's what I meant to say. Stat wise, not that that really makes a difference, but 60-40% possession in favor of the Galaxy. Here's your big one. This is, by the way, the Galaxy were shut out for the first time this season. With as much offense as they had could not score. Who? What?
No, I was gonna say they weren't set up to score, especially not in that first half with Miguel Berry.
No. Well, not only that, not only was this a bad performance, I think this is one where, unlike the LAFC game where I felt that LAFC didn't necessarily impress me, where I felt that they deserved the win, I think they just had they had a good game plan and the Galaxy were just ill-prepared for it. I think Austin deserved this one, and I think their game plan was executed and they just looked better. They looked better than the Galaxy. I don't think LAFC looked better than the Galaxy. Austin looked better than the Galaxy. And it's a combination of both that Galaxy just didn't look good. But offense was just nowhere to be found for the Galaxy here. As I said, first shutout of the season. That's kind of like saying Miami was going to get shut out. And for the record, Galaxy practically did almost. It. Yeah, not officially, almost. But they... not officially didn't do it, but they practically did it. But Miami is not the same team that we saw in game number one. Let's just be very clear about that. So 60-40% possession for the Galaxy. 16 shots for the Galaxy compared to only 9 for Austin. I'll tell you that at least more than half the Galaxy shots came from outside the box. Obviously we don't do a video thing here, but if you were to look at the shot chart here, the middle of the box and practically the middle, like from the goalie all the way up to halfway line, there's no shot in the middle anywhere. They're all off to the side. Very poor shot selection here. And again, that's probably credit to Austin. Both had 5 shots on target. Austin only had an expected goal of 1.06. That's relatively low. For the most part. And the Galaxy had half of that, at 0.52. there was really no offense going on here. And that's pretty much what I saw. Not really much of an offensive game. The goals that come from Austin, the first one came from a bad giveaway. But when I saw it, I was like, okay, I think the give and go that was supposed to happen, Yamani was slipped. And that's why, okay, the ball did not go to where it was intended to go. And they got a goal like right from that. Now, you can also blame the markers and like, hey, why aren't you marking this? But it was, again, from a bad giveaway. That one I can forgive. Like, okay, the guy slipped and okay, whatever. The second one was, I believe, a very quick counter. A very, very, very quick counter. In which what I remember from this one was that I think Miguel Berry lost the ball twice. I think he lost the ball, recovered it, and then lost the ball again. Mm-hmm. And then one pass, boom, you're off to the races. And that was the difference, off the post and in. That was your second goal right there. So it was a quick counter and a bit of a unfortunate mistake in the first one. So though I do feel that we were outplayed and that Austin was a better side here, I also felt like the goals were maybe not as cheap as San Jose, but they weren't
The goals we gave up were cheap. They weren't set piece goals, which I think were also cheap. But in the run of play, and you know, like I said, they just hit that little 1-2, and they were in.
Yeah. So I mean, at the end of the day, I yes, we were outplayed. Yes, we deserved to lose. But I don't think we necessarily got run off the field either. As I said, in the second half, they came a little bit more alive. Looked like they were pushing forward a little bit more. But as stated before, at that point, Austin was just defending their 2-goal lead and put 11 guys behind the ball, and they were able to successfully defend. So credit to them. 3 big chances for Austin, only missed one of them. Only one big chance for the Galaxy, and they missed one. And I actually cannot think of what that big chance was, because I don't think it was Ricky Pooja's shot. Ricky Pooja took him like way out there. Yeah, that was way out there. Yeah, 100% would have been a golazo. It was not a big chance. He got to, let me see. So yeah, so Pooja's shot had a 0.02 expected goal. Yeah, that was way out there. So I can't even think of what chance you're talking about. Nothing comes to mind. And as I'm looking at all the shots in the box, not one of them has a 0.1. Not one of them had a 10% chance of going in. So I'm actually not sure what the big chance was. I don't ever remember a big chance of a goal. So, you know, there you have it. I think at the end of the day, I don't think there's really any reason to panic. It's a bad game. It was bound to happen. It happened now. You just have to, you know, pick yourself up, move forward. They did it before. I'm sure they can do it again. You've got some, as I said, May doesn't get any easier just because of the schedule congestion. You have games that you're going to have to start rotating players. You have midweek games. If you're looking past a Seattle game, your next home game is on May 11th against RSL, a very good RSL side that has overtaken first place. They have my respect now. I think in my personal power rankings, they're definitely top three. I don't think there's arguing that right now. And the following week, you have to travel to Minnesota. I think that's a tough game from there. And that's a midweek game, by the way. That's a Wednesday game. And then same week, you have to travel to Charlotte. So two games on the road. And Charlotte has only lost one time at home in the past year. So these are tough games right there. And then you close out May at home. Back-to-back games. Hey, back-to-back home games. What do you say, right? That's literally the first time that's happened this year. And it takes games 15 and 16 for that to happen. You'll have some Texas opponents. You have Houston and Dallas that rounds up in May. I think those are obviously winnable games there. And then he started getting into June and the dog days of MLS. And again, the new challenges await as you're getting into July. You have League Cups coming in. So the next chapter for the Galaxy, first 10 games finishes off. Let's go ahead and do it really, really quick, guys. Through the first 10 games, as I said, it's a milestone. The Galaxy are currently sitting officially in second place in the Western Conference. They are in third place in the Supporter Shield. Only goal differential separates them and RSL. They are 5-2-3, so only two losses through the first 10 games. Obviously, we know what we thought about the Galaxy going into the season and those what the first 10 games may possibly mean for Vanny after a third of the season.
I think it's cooled off. For me, it's cooled off significantly.
Right. Me too. I don't think anyone's really legitimately saying Vanny out. I think a lot of people... Well, I mean, there are people who didn't want Vanny to begin with, and there are people who didn't want Vanny to begin the season. And so obviously these people are going to be Vanny out, but as far as performance wise right now, it's really hard to kind of say that with any sort of legitimacy. My question, what is your grade for the Galaxy through the first 10 games?
Well, it has to be an A at this moment in time, especially what they've been doing. I still personally can criticize them a little bit harsher because I just feel like, again, I've been saying this in the last few shows, is that their performance hasn't been that stellar in most of the games, really, to be truthful. And then to be watching a game and just going, oh, it's okay, we're down a goal. Oh, it's okay, mm-hmm. We're down two goals. We'll come back because, you know, the great Vanny and his trick up his sleeve is making what was it? Teams believe that we're not that good until we decide to be good. I was waiting for that to happen, Austin. But there's a lot of things I still don't like. And I think this last game kind of showed a lot of the weaknesses that this team has. But I really do think they're going to bounce back. I think they're a strong team. And I think definitely the personnel on the field is much, much, much better than last year. So it's definitely an A. I wish I could give it an A+, but it's not there. An A.
I'm going to give them a B just because I know that they can improve. They've missed a couple of assignments, mostly the set piece subject. If we're talking grades, and obviously I think that there's still some weak spots within the team as we've seen those cracks come to the surface a little bit, the lack of depth in the forward position. Obviously the center, the defense was a problem. With the center backs, obviously now you have Jalen Neal get some minutes back. So congratulations to Jalen coming back after a long injury. I think they said something like 314 days between appearances.
That's nearly a year.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it was great to see him back on the field. So we have him coming back and we have Garces coming in.
Is he? Because where in the world is he?
At some point, you know. For the last 7 games, maybe.
Is he even real?
Yeah. Right?
What is it with the? It has to be Colombian players that have a problem getting their visas because Yoni Gonzalez had the exact same problem, right? Who do we sign that we got like their visas like up and like everybody, right? Peck got their visa in order. Pesa got his visa in order. Like all the foreigners got their visa in order and were there like immediately.
Yeah.
And then you have Garces who was announced like, was it 3 weeks ago? Two, three weeks ago. Yeah. And like, where is this guy? I thought he was going to be here like sometime this week. And it's been crickets.
He might be here already. And, you know, we might see him at the first home game. Maybe it just didn't make sense for him to go on the road trip, but look, he, you know, that reinforcement is coming. I think now it's time to focus on, you know, on that next step piece, being at the forward, but going into facing the Seattle game without Ricky Puig on yellow card suspension. One of the things that I will say about this Austin game is that, whenever they were
trying to sort of unlock or trying to find that rhythm. Obviously, a lot of it went through Ricky Pooch. I felt like them deferring to Ricky was almost stifling Peck and Painsill, because I felt like Peck and Painsill, they want to run. And I felt like Ricky was slowing the game down too much, making, you know, trying some intricate passing sequences, giving the ball away. And I felt like that was kind of stifling, the strengths that Peck and Painsill have. I feel like when in the second half, when Barry came off and Fagundes was in, some of that stuff started to feel a little bit better, the combination. But now without Pooj coming in, I would be very, very interested to see, you know, you have Brugman who can serve a ball. You have Delgado who, you know, can break those lines. I wonder if maybe the way that they play changes a little bit without Ricky Pooj orchestrating everything in the middle and having that bite in the midfield with Brugman, Cerrillo, and help me, and Delgado, you know, kind of feeding Peck and Painsill. I wonder if that is really going to unlock that part. I think I have some positive to gain from that one. I feel like in this game, you know, Ricky slowed down things too much and didn't play to the strengths of Peck and Painsill. So I'd be curious to see how that pans out in Seattle.
Bobby?
Yeah, like made a whole comment right before David.
Lewis? No, I'm done. I'm good.
All right, so do we have anything more to say?
No, I think we're good. Full speed ahead to Seattle.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening to this episode 330. Talk to you guys later. Say bye, guys.
We won't.
Right. Bye, guys. We'll see you next week.
That was my Seattle ocean sounds.
All right.
Bobby.